We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like your boy Foch, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Whether you were Tyrese Haliburton dealing with a hamstring injury that took time to get back to normal, this is why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of Setting the Pace. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or as we like to call it, EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you're going to want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're in the United States or Canada, it doesn't matter. There's hundreds of other locations across the globe. Access to a center is easy and affordable. How much cash you got on you? Oh, doesn't matter. I bet you could afford Unified Healing and what the EE System is bringing to the table. Now, if you're interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/pace to learn more and find a center near you. That is UNIFYD healing.com/pace. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE System.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Memories have been made.
Haliburton, a deep three for the lead.
And baby!
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away. Hits a three at the buzzer to win the game.
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and hits!
But this is Indiana.
Throws it down!
And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three-pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping there. Team, we gon' need a mop.
Setting like the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
Joining us now on Setting the Pace, he is no stranger to this show because he is the voice of Bally Sports Indiana. He is Mr. 2000, Chris Denary. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. How you doing?
Oh, great to be with you guys on Setting the Pace. As
We're almost to the end of the regular season. Hard to believe, just two games left.
No, absolutely. It's an exciting time to be a Pacers fan as they are bound for the postseason. And then one more game, one more win, and they will be in the top six. They will not have to worry about being in that play-in scenario. But Chris, Tony East told me that I have to ask you about the story you told him when it comes to that very first game that you called for Pacers Sports and Entertainment. He said it's a great story, and he said that you have to ask Chris about it. So I'm curious, you know, you told him this story, and I want to hear it.
Yeah, so it was back in 2000. I had just been hired as the radio voice of the Indiana Fever. I was the longtime voice of Butler basketball at the time. And my full-time job, I was the director of sports marketing at Methodist Sports Medicine. So, you know, I had many balls in the air. And so it was the day of the final day of the regular season. And I got a call from Larry Mago. And he said, hey, I just wanted to know if you could come to the game tonight. And I'm like, yeah. And in my head, I'm thinking he just wants me to come and meet people, you know, because I'm going to start being the voice of the Fever, you know, a month later. And I said, yeah, I think I can make it. No problem. And he said, well, I need you to do the game tonight. I go, what? He goes, well, and I can't remember if it was, but Al Albert had a death in the family. He was the voice of the Pacers on TV. And so we're going to move. He told me we're going to move Mark Boyle to television, and we would love for you to call the game on radio. I'm like, okay. So this was like 10 o'clock in the morning. I immediately called my boss and said, hey, if I can, I need to go home the rest of the day, and I need to prepare for this game that they just called me about. So I went home. I prepped until, you know, made my score sheets and all that till like 4 o'clock. Then I drove downtown to do the game on radio. And of course, I'm doing it with Slick Leonard. Now, I had known Slick for a long time. He and my dad went to college together, so that was no big deal. But in my head, I had to think, okay, every time the Pacers shoot a three-point shot, I'm used to calling it out when I'm doing the Butler game, right? And I had to think, you have to stop, because you got to give Slick the chance to say boom, baby. And so I think the irony is, I just completed 2,000 games with Pacers Sports and Entertainment, 500 plus with the Fever, almost 1,500 with the Pacers. But the very first game I did for PS&E was not on television. It was not a Fever game. It was Pacers Hawks on the final day of the regular season in the 99-2000 season. And I did it with Slick Leonard. So I think that's a pretty cool way to start your career. And, you know, here I am now 18 years later, getting ready to complete my 18th year with the Pacers.
Amazing stuff. It's funny because for you said that, you know, you weren't prepared or weren't ready for that. The first thing I thought is, what about your stat sheet? So it's great that you were like, hey, I had to run it and make that.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're very prepared. So love that. Ironic. Hey, we got the Hawks coming up. But, you know, Chris, this team, this Pacers team, fantastic from quarters two and on. This first quarter, you know, it typically worries me. I don't know about you, but as we're moving into the playoffs, does it worry you about how this Pacers team continues to dig themselves in a hole that they try and dig out of, that come playoff time, it might not work out that way?
Well, it's a little bit of both, because they've had some cool, you know, they've had some games where they started off really well in the first quarter and they haven't won those games. But, you know, I know you're referring back to Tuesday night. You know, when you fall behind by 10 in Toronto, I was a little worried. My partner Quinn wasn't worried at all. He felt pretty good that the Pacers were going to come back. But, you know, it is a little worrisome from the standpoint that you don't want to do it too often. You know, the one thing is this team has proven all year to be a really good second half team. Third quarter is by far their best quarter. They're the leading third quarter team in the NBA this year. And I think the bench has done such a good job that even if the starters stumble a little, TJ McConnell's playing at an extremely high level right now. Obi Toppin's playing very well. So there's enough juice on that bench that I think even if you are down and you don't make up the deficit, we saw that on Tuesday night. I thought the starters came back in after the bench cut into that lead, and then the starters got the lead at the end of the first half, and then, of course, had a great third quarter. So it's concerning,
But, you know, if you're fortunate enough to get into a seven game series, you know, all the games are not going to play out where you have a lead. So, we'll just have to wait and see. I think these final two games are important, you know, because you need one of those to get into the playoffs. And you really don't want to put yourself with your back up against the wall, especially on Friday night when you play Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. And I want to just kind of piggyback off that conversation about the first quarter starts, because I saw Mark Monteith, former Pacers beat writer for the Star and rep for Pacers.com for quite a while. He said that getting off to a slow start really doesn't mean that much in basketball. He said, look at the Pacers. They've done it several times this year, got off to a slow start, come back, win the game. Look at what Purdue did in the national championship. They got off to a strong start. It didn't result in a win. So is there a bit of a overreaction to slow starts in the first quarter, or is that something that really actually should be more concerning than maybe Mark Monteith was stating on social media?
Well, I guess I'm looking at the numbers, just the raw numbers. The Pacers are 24-12 when they lead after the first quarter, and they're 18-20 when they trail after the first quarter. So they almost have a 500 record when that happens. So it's not like you're looking at 38 games and they're 10-28. I think they've shown that, they can come back from first quarter deficits. I'm looking on the road. They're 11-13 on the road when they trail after the first quarter. So I think the numbers show that while you don't want to fall behind, I mean, that's really the last thing you want to do. I don't think this is a team that really panics. I mean, guys, think back to the road game last week. They had a double-figure lead in the first quarter against Brooklyn, and unfortunately, Fauci was there to see it in person, and they lost that game. So there's a game that they had the lead, a double-figure lead after the first quarter, and they didn't win. So sometimes we can get all caught up in the numbers, but you know, I think we'd all like to see them get off to better starts.
I love some of the stats that you got. I'm a big stats guy. So I love when you're saying, hey, they're 11-13 on the road when trailing after the first quarter. That's a very in-depth stat I think a lot of people might not be aware of. We were all joking offline before this that the Pacers are undefeated in games in April that I have not attended. So it just shows that, hey, there's a stat out there for everything. But I also think it's important to be playing your best basketball at the right time. You want to be able to peak when it matters most. I think that right now, with the playoffs around the corner, outside of that stinker in Brooklyn that we talked about, how do you feel about this team in the month of April? They've been winning. I'm encouraged, but I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that we've seen in the months of March and April is the defense is better. Now, granted, they gave up 120-plus points the other night in Toronto, but they also scored 140. The thing that I've been encouraged about, guys, is they have found different ways to win. If we remember early in the season, they were winning by making a lot of threes and shooting a high percentage. There have been games that they've made seven threes, eight threes. They've shot below 30% from three and still won the game. And I think that's because their defense has been better. So I think all in all, they may not be playing as well as they did at the end of December and early January. Remember, this team was 14-14 right around Christmas, then went on the road, I thought won two very important games at Houston, at Chicago, and went 9-1 during that stretch. By far, that was probably the best overall stretch of the season. But I think right now, I think they're playing at a very high level, and this is exactly what you want when you're going into April, and hopefully we know they're in the postseason. We know they're in the play-in tournament at least, but hopefully they can bypass that and be front and center, ready to go for a best-of-seven first-round series.
There's been a lot of games that have been very important for the Pacers really since after the All-Star break. Every game was not a must win, but they really needed to win as many games as possible to kind of keep themselves afloat, keep themselves in that top six, and they've done that. But do you think that the preparation for the playoffs has kind of already been set there because they've already had to take every single game really, you know, pretty seriously, trying to win so many here the last month and a half, really? Do you think that that's going to help them prepare for the playoffs?
I think so. I mean, let's look back in mid-March. Road wins at Golden State, at the Clippers. You came back and beat the Lakers, winning last weekend, Oklahoma City and Miami, really must wins when you think about it. I also go back, and again, they did not have Pascal Siakam during the in-season tournament, but I think the in-season tournament gave this group a sense of what the playoffs are going to be like, because you know, think about it. You know, the quarterfinal win against Boston, the semifinal win against Milwaukee, those are one and done situations. You don't win the game, you don't advance. And so I think that gave this team a little bit of a taste what it's going to be like in a playoff scenario. Now, the NBA playoffs are best of seven, and there are so many adjustments that each team makes from game one to two to four to five to seven. But I do think the atmospheres that they played in, especially at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in December against Boston, and then what we saw against Oklahoma City and Miami, and how they've had a winning record on the road, I think all those things go in to help give them a lot of confidence as far as getting ready for the postseason or the playoffs.
You know, the Pacers have not had success the last few years in the playoffs. We're talking about the last two appearances. You know, they've been swept. However, it feels that there's something different about this group, that it would surprise me if the Pacers were to get swept or even really lose a series in five games. What feels different about this Pacers team that no matter who they play, you have that feeling that it's going to be either a really competitive series or the Pacers could win that series?
Well, I think the success that they've had against those playoff teams and, you know, potentially who they could play. I mean, they won the season series with the Knicks. They currently lead the season series with Cleveland, even though there's a game to play on Friday night. They won two games against Boston. They were 4-1 against Milwaukee. So I think all those things have given this young group a lot of confidence that they belong, that they have the opportunity to compete with these teams that many people think would be favored over them. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, we were talking off air, you know, a couple of years ago, Kevin Pritchard met with the media and said, hey, look, we're in a rebuilding situation. We're going to take it slow. We're going to try to take the right steps. We're not going to skip steps. They won 25 games. Then last year, starting the full year with Tyrese Halliburton, they win 35, and he misses a lot of games due to injury. And then all of a sudden, you're at 46. I mean, the last 2 years, you've improved 10 wins each year. And so you're probably ahead of schedule. Let's be honest. I probably thought this team would be right around a 500 team and, you know, firmly in the play-in situation. Could they get into the top six? I'll be honest, 46 wins. I'm not sure I saw that early in the year. This team has now a chance for 48. So I sort of look at it that way and think that the opportunity for this team is now. You have to take advantage of the now because you never know what's down the road. You don't know about injuries. You don't know about all that stuff. But I think this is a great building block for what they hope is going to be a nice run in the future. And I sort of hearken back to, you know, 5 or 6 years into my tenure when it was Paul George's rookie year, getting to the postseason against Chicago. And if you remember, they had a losing record as the 8 seed. But that set the table for the next 3 years and gave them the confidence that they could advance in the playoffs. Now, I think this team is more than capable of winning a series in the postseason this year. And who knows, you know, how far they could go. It's all based on matchups. But I like where they are. I like what they're doing, and excited about, you know, what the future holds.
Yeah, I mean, a great opportunity presented itself. Back in January, they were able to trade for Pascal Siakam. You bring him onto this team, you kind of solidify your starting lineup. After all the trade deadline stuff passes, you kind of know who your team looks like. But I'm just kind of curious, not just Pascal himself, but the rest of the team. How do you think that it's impacted the rest of the team, and not just what Pascal's impacts have been on the team, but other players that maybe have had to take on a different role with him coming onto the roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at a couple guys right off the bat, Jalen Smith and Obi Toppin. And at one point, you know, those two guys were starters at the four position. And now Obi's the backup to Pascal, and Jalen Smith has primarily been the backup to Miles Turner. I think those guys have handled it very well. I mean, Obi right now is playing as well as anybody on the Pacers. I mean, what he did on Tuesday night was fantastic in Toronto. He had 3 blocks and what, 5, 6, 7 dunks, whatever he had. And I think Jalen Smith has done a really good job at the backup center position. So, I mean, those are two guys that were directly impacted by the arrival of Pascal Siakam. I just think it's made the team deeper, and that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to have as deep a roster as you can have, because when you go to the bench, you do not take a step back. There are a number of teams in this league that they don't want to take their starters out, because when they go to the bench, it really hurts. For the Pacers, it's an advantage. And so I think those two players in particular have done a really good job of adapting to their new roles once Pascal was acquired.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Another really big part of that bench, which has been awesome this year, has been TJ McConnell. The last few months, I mean, to me, it feels like he's been just as consistent as perhaps the sun rising the next day. What does it feel about McConnell? What is it that you feel that you can count on him on a night-in, night-out basis for this team? And can they rely on him moving forward in the playoffs? Will it translate?
Well, he's been in double figures in 16 of the last 19 games. And oftentimes, it's not just 10 points. It's not just 12 points. It's 16, 17, 20 points. Just plays with such an energy. Now, some people would counter that when you get to the postseason, the rotations shrink and starters will play heavier minutes. And that's probably true. But I still think that TJ plays with such a pace that he becomes very, very hard to defend. And every night I watch, and sometimes I ask myself, do some of these guys watch tape, of what TJ is doing? Because he does things on a nightly basis that you just think he shouldn't be able to do. But he's been sensational. He should be a candidate and get votes for Sixth Man of the Year. I don't expect him to win. Voters tend to look at numbers, and his numbers are 10 points, 5 assists. There are other guys that probably have bigger individual numbers, but I don't think there's anybody else in the league that's had an impact like TJ, especially when you talk about a team that won 35 games last year and has won 46 games this year. He's definitely been a prime factor for the Pacers' success this year. I mean, there are a number of games, guys, that if he doesn't do what he's doing off the bench, I'm not sure this team wins that particular game. That's how impactful he's been at times.
Yeah, and I really feel like he's kind of taken on more of a leadership role this year as well. The fact that he was able to call his team out in those huddles in the first quarter against Toronto, and then when JJ asked him, what really turned around, he said, when we decided to grow up. I like hearing that kind of stuff from TJ, because we've heard the Pacers, when they've talked about their struggles, like talk about how they can't overlook teams. It's been something that Carlisle's mentioned. It's Tyrese has said it. We got to you know, be more mature, but then they still come out flat. And I think that McConnell kind of holding them accountable just kind of shows the leadership role that he has taken on this year. But it's one of those things where I watch T.J. McConnell and the preparation he goes into every single night when he's at home, and you see the work that him and Coach Jenny Busick put in each and every night. And I know a lot of people talk about her impact, but you know, you're probably around her a little bit more. You've probably gotten to see a little bit more up close and how she's helped other players, not just T.J., work on their shots. But what has that relationship been like to you when you see how well, you know, Jenny and T.J. kind of mesh together, and how has she kind of helped impact his overall play the last couple of months?
I think a lot of it is the work that they put in, the confidence she gives him. She does the same with Andrew Nembhard, you know, from a guard position. And this is where I think what I want to say is very important is Rick empowers his assistant coaches. If you go to practice, now Rick has a voice. There's no question. And he's going to let players know positively, negatively what's happening. But I've been around, you know, a lot of practices and watched a lot of games in my years. And oftentimes the assistant coaches don't have a lot to say, or they're not allowed to say some things. And that is not the case with Rick. And when you're at practice, you hear Lloyd Pierce, you hear Jim Boylan, Jenny Busick, you know, I mean, you guys watch games. I mean, Jenny's up and down the sidelines in Rick's ear or whatever. And I just think that is so important in how he empowers his assistant coaches, and it gives them the confidence that they, when they work with the players. And this isn't just what has happened during the season. You know, I was in the Ascension St. Vincent Center, you know, off and on all summer long. And when I'd walk in, I would see Jenny working with TJ. I would see Jim Boylan working with the bigs. So it's not just from October to now. I mean, this was last May, last June. And I just think all of those reps that they take and all of the time that they spent, and especially TJ with Jenny on his shot and just all the things that he works on, I mean, that's huge. And you have to give a lot of credit to Jenny and TJ for building that relationship that has made him so successful this year.
Love this coaching staff. But one thing when I'm thinking about it, how could you make up for the lack of playoff experience? And I think that you can do that with chemistry. I think that this team has some chemistry they've been developing. It looks like they're having a lot of fun together. What can you say about maybe this Pacers group compared to a few of the Pacer groups, you know, in previous years that maybe didn't have it all together as a team style of basketball, maybe got bounced from the playoffs earlier than they should have?
Yeah, I mean, you've got some guys, you know, Miles has had playoff experience with the Pacers. TJ's had some playoff experience. Of course, Pascal won a title in Toronto. So I think all of those things can help. And they can allow and help their teammates get through that. I do think the in-season tournament, what Tyrese went through, is going to help him immensely, even though he has never played in an actual playoff game. But I think this team's been through a lot. I think they have a lot of togetherness, to your point. It is very genuine. I mean, I'm around this group. I mean, they truly have great relationships with one another. I think you can see that on the bench. And so I think all that will help. I think the leadership that they'll get from Pascal, Tyrese, even though he's not been in the playoffs, TJ and Miles, all of that will rub off on the rest of the group. And I think give them a lot of belief and hope in the success that they can have in the postseason.
So we know your partner likes to give three keys to the game before every game for Pacers Twitter. And I'm curious, what are your three keys for the Pacers to win a playoff series in this upcoming April?
Well, I think rebounding will be important, and rebounding and second chance points. I mean, I looked the other night against Toronto and they had 34 second chance points. They did a much better in the second half than they did in the first half, getting those 50-50 balls that I think are so important. So I don't think you have to win rebounding, but you've got to manage rebounding. You don't want to be out rebounded by 10, 12, 14. But you want to manage that and do a good job on the offensive glass. You know, this has been a team that, for the most part, has shot better than 50% most nights. And so I still think it's important for this team in the playoffs to be around the 30 assist mark and to shoot around 50%. Now, I think all of us that have watched playoff basketball understand that the game slowed down a little bit. The scores aren't as high. Possessions might be valued a little bit more. But I still think if this team can play the pace that it wants to play, that's when it has its best success. And then the other thing will be just keep improving on the defensive end. Really attack every possession defensively like it's the last one. And we've seen that. I mean, if you look, March, April, they're, I think, right around 15th in defense. And, the 3 or 4 prior months prior to that, they were around 30th. Some people would say, hey, do you want to be top 10? But they're 15th. And I think the offense, while they've been first much of the year, I think they're around 4th or 5th. That's manageable. I mean, that's great. So I think those are the three things that I see that are going to be very important. And, can they get out in transition? They probably have played a little bit slower with the addition of Pascal Siakam, but that's all right, because now you have a guy, when the shot clock is winding down, you can get him the ball and he can get a basket for you. That is something that you definitely have to have if you're in the playoffs, and the Pacers now have a guy like that that can get that done.
Some great keys. And when you mentioned about, being around 15th in defense lately, there was a time where I was saying, just don't be last. Could the Pacers be 25th? Anything like that? Because we saw what it was like in the beginning of the year, and it was tough to lose a game, even if you're scoring 130 points. So I think those are some great keys. But is there, the playoff standings? It's like a game of musical chairs. And at any point when the so-called music stops, someone's moving up and down the standings. But is there a team that you think the Pacers would most benefit from playing in round one?
I've really stayed away from that just because I want to see this team in the postseason, because, anytime you say that, then who knows who's going to be watching this setting the pace, an aggregator from one of those other teams. Honestly, guys, I just want to see this team in the postseason because we, the last time we had a meaningful postseason at Gainbridge Fieldhouse would be 2018-19, right? Because 19-20 was the bubble year. Yep. That's when the Pacers, and then the next year they were in the play-in tournament and there were very few fans there. So honestly, I just want to see them get in. I know they still have a chance at 4th, maybe 5th, most likely 6th. And I just want them to be in the top 6.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And then have that opportunity to play a first round series against probably a team that they've had pretty good success with, because they've won the season series against most everybody other than Orlando. Mm-hmm. They lead Cleveland 2-1, won the season series with Philadelphia, won the season series with the Knicks. So I just want to see them in the playoffs. I don't really care who they play.
Let the cards fall where they may. And I brought up Quinn Buckner on my last question. I got to bring him up again because you know what I'm going to ask you about, Chris. We finally got it Tuesday night. We got a smothered chicken, the most uninspiring smothered chicken, though.
You asked him, right, about why he – I think you spurred him on. Because all of a sudden, out of the blue, for a Tyrese Halliburton block, we got a smothered chicken.
Yeah, Ty said that he talked to him about it because he saw it on Twitter. Some people have said that maybe my tweet about it is what Ty saw. I'm not going to say that Tyrese Halliburton's seen my tweets, but you just never know. The guy's looking at his Twitter during halftime of a game. So I thought it was pretty funny that it was a blocked 3-point shot that got Quinn Buckner to do a smothered chicken. He said that he told Ty he would do it in the playoffs. So I'm hoping maybe, you guys will have a few of those broadcasts. Maybe we'll get another smothered chicken.
Yeah, and the other piece is when he was getting on the bus the other night, Ty had a couple of dunks, right, against Toronto. But Quinn said the one was a rub dunk. And so it wasn't a true dunk. And so Tyrese is walking down the aisle. I said, hey, Tyrese, I got you. I called it a dunk. He goes, my man, because Quinn. But, hey, Quinn gave him a smothered chicken. So we finally got one. I mean, guys, I don't think we'd had a smothered chicken in months.
2 years. Long time. I mean, people have been dying for it. Yeah. So,
do you remember the first one?
No, I do not remember the first one.
That needs to be a stat. You guys need to bring that up. You need to find that
could be a Central Indiana Honda dealers trivia question. When did Quinn Buckner
like get that
first?
I think it was against Jan Mahimi, according to David Deering, former radio producer for Grady and Big Joe. He put that out there. So maybe you should hook up with him, see if he remembers that call.
Yeah, maybe I'll hit him up on Twitter and find out.
Someone listening to this is going to have to verify that. I think that's something we need to get down to the bottom of. One of my last questions for you, Chris, would just be, who's that player that you think could perhaps swing a game on the Pacers that maybe no one might expect it to be? There's always one of those guys in the playoffs that gets hot at the right time and changes a game. Who do you think that could be for the Pacers?
I think it could be Aaron Nesmith, because I he's a top 10 three-point shooter. He could have games where he hits anywhere between 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's a guy. Again, I think you get into the postseason, it will be harder to win games if you go 7 for 30 from three.
Yes.
I'm not saying you got to shoot 50% from three, but I think Aaron's that guy that is very capable of hitting 3 to 5 in a game. And so I think he's a guy that I look at. He's done a really good job, too, of attacking the basket. And you're going to have somebody else beyond Halliburton and Siakam who are getting you 15 to 20-plus points. And I think Nesmith can be a guy that does that.
Yeah, and I feel like in some of the in-season tournament games, he really showed up, too, like had some big, big moments, and he really embraces the challenge defensively. So I like that pick, Aaron Nesmith. I feel like over the last couple of weeks, Chris, he's not been as sharp, I guess you could say, as he was maybe early on in the year. But I know it's a long season. He's been dealing with injuries. So as we kind of wrap this up, you started out the show telling us a story about your first broadcast. You've done over 2,000 games now. I'm curious, is there maybe another story that sticks out to you that is just an epic Chris Denary broadcast moment?
Yes, I will say this. It goes back to that. So I started in 2006. And so my first 4 years, the Pacers did not sniff the playoffs. That was Jim O'Brien. Rick Carlisle was the coach my first year. Then it was Jim O'Brien. And then it was the 2010-11 season. Two things happened, I'll tell you. So it was my birthday on a Sunday, and as a family, we decided to go out for lunch for my birthday. And I said, well, I'm going to leave my phone at home, you know, just because I wanted to be out, removed. Well, that was the day that Jim O'Brien got fired and Frank Vogel got hired. And I remember I came home, I went down to my office to get my phone, and I had like 75 text messages. And that was the day that it happened. The other piece would be, so I don't know if you remember, you guys were a lot younger at the time, but Frank Vogel at his press conference said, we are going to make the playoffs. And the Pacers were way under 500. Well, we get to the end of the year. We're in a situation where the Pacers need to win a game at Gainbridge Fieldhouse to get to the playoffs. And I can't even remember who the game was against. All I know is Brandon Rush had the ball, and all we needed to do was sort of take care of the ball and sort of ice the game. And he came down and jacked up a three-point shot. And I said on air, what are you doing? And I remember on social media, everybody sending me Facebook messages and tweets saying, you said exactly what we were thinking. It's sort of the one time that I was supposed to be doing my professional duty, but we were so close to getting to the playoffs, which we eventually, the Pacers got to. It just, that's what I was thinking. I said, what are you doing? And and so that's the story.
That's the human in you, because it's honestly shocking that that doesn't slip out more for, you know, on air, because everyone's got to remember you're passionate about this team too. I think you do a fantastic job being able to, you know, keep it professional, but love hearing that human side of you. My last question is just, it's been a couple of years since the Pacers have been back in the playoffs. I think that people might have taken it for granted a little bit with them being a mainstay in the playoffs, but maybe not having these deep runs at times. Do you think the fan base is going to appreciate this one just a little bit more, given how the last few years have been?
Oh, I think so. And we've seen that in the field house all year. I mean, it's, you know, to all those that are watching, that come to games, that listen to Mark Boyle on radio, watch us on TV. I mean, the energy has been awesome. You know, when I'm out and about, people are talking to me about the Pacers again. They're enthused. They like the team. They love Tyrese. Hey, we got Pascal Siakam. Miles Turner's playing great. So I do think people are excited. And I think I want to see Pacers basketball get back to playing in May and have Pacers and Racers. You've got the fever season coming with, you know, an unbelievable pick that's going to be made on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the name because I can't. I mean, I'm, you know, I can't say that. But this is a great time to be a basketball fan in Indiana. You know, we just saw Indiana State go to the final of the NIT. Purdue goes to the national championship game. A school up in northeast Indiana, Trine, wins the Division III title. We had a great high school basketball season. I mean, it's been a great year to be a basketball fan, and I just want the Pacers to, you know, sort of go into the spring, you know, trying to make some noise, and I think the fan base is really excited about that.
No one better to be on the call for it than you. We're excited for it. Chris, tell everybody where they can find you on social media. None of that Instagram stuff. Just give them the good old Twitter and where they can find you.
Yeah, thanks. Twitter at Chris Denary, Facebook, Chris Denary. I am on Instagram, but my kids always say, why aren't you on Instagram more? And I'm there on occasion, but I'm not on
it. It's just a lot easier to type things out on Twitter than it is to post a picture and type something out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I tried to do threads or, I mean, I was on that a little bit. No. Early on, but I never go there. I mean,
I haven't heard anybody talk about it. Actually, I think past that like first week, so yeah. That says a lot.
Yeah. So, but I try to be as active as I can, you know, within reason. But that's where I am.
Yeah. Avoid the bots on X, though. My God, those have gotten out of control.
Anything.
That's
I'll
the only reason anything. Threads might come back to life.
No, you're right. You're right. That's out of hand. I mean, there are so many things that come up on my feed. I'm like, oh, why is this here? You know,
yeah.
You can't even check a comment underneath a picture anymore. I mean, well, it's a story for another day. But Chris, we want to thank you for coming back on. It's always, always a pleasure to have you on. And we can't wait to continue to talk about this team throughout the playoffs. So we look forward to having you back on next time.
Well, thanks, Scott. It's always good to be on Setting the Pace. And as always, I'll be following you guys and getting ready for the postseason.
We appreciate you.